Well, good morning, and God bless you on this first Lord's Day of 2021. Colleen and I wish you all a Happy New Year, and we'll be praying for the Lord's peace and joy to prevail in each of our lives as we look forward with expectation to whatever the Lord may have for us during this year. As we determine to honour and faithfully serve the Lord our God in this coming year, walking in the light of His Word and listening closely to the prompting voice of His Holy Spirit, then we should expect God's promises of blessing to be true for us, individually and also corporately as a church. The small remnant of Bible believers here in Cairns who make up Coastline Baptist Church. As we walk faithfully with the Lord, then the promises we read in His Word, such as in Psalm 37, for example, should be a reality to us in our lives. Verses 3 through to 5 of Psalm 37 promise, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass." And in verse 7 we are told to rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. "Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6 also instruct those of us who will listen, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And verse 7 adds, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Forget about what the rest of the world is going to be doing in this year 2021, and let's set our eyes and affections upon the Lord. And He tells us that He will provide for us and bless us and bring His will for our lives to pass. Don't be distracted by the unbelievers who seem to prosper in everything they put their hands to, usually accomplished with borrowed money that they lie awake all night worrying about. Don't concern ourselves with what the wicked in our society are doing, but simply keep our hearts and minds focused upon trusting and acknowledging God in and with our lives. Fear God and depart from evil, we are told, and then we can be sure that it is Him who will be leading us and guiding us through whatever transpires during the year 2021. Who knows? Perhaps 2021 will be the year that our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, will gather us together to be with Him at His Father's house in heaven. Could be. The way things are going here on planet Earth, I wouldn't be surprised. Are you ready? That's the thing. Are we living our lives in a manner that demonstrates that we fear the Lord our God and faithfully serve Him, and that we depart from evil every time it entices us to join its wicked company? In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, the Lord has some good advice for us as we proceed through this new year and patiently wait for Him. Verse 28 instructs us, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Praise the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. It's what I know for sure Colleen is going to do too. And it's what we're praying that each of our group of believers will commit ourselves to, despite whatever comes in the year ahead. Amen. So God bless you and a Happy New Year to you all as we make the choice to walk with Him into 2021, wherever He may lead. Amen. Today, due to a number of circumstances which pretty well took up most of my time and attention during the week, some of them related to my health issues and after effects caused by my recent radiation and hormone treatment, I've chosen to use one of my previous messages, which I believe is relevant to the occasion, being as it is the first Lord's Day of the year. You may have heard this message when I first presented it. Nevertheless, I hope it will challenge you and be an encouragement to you to stand true and strong for the Lord during what I think could be a pretty challenging time ahead for weak Christians, especially if it's God's will for the left-wing Democratic Party in America to run the show. If you listened to last week's message and then took the opportunity to read the linked PDF document, which was entitled Restoring Constitutional Pluralism in the White House, then you would know what certain people in America want to legislate into law. If they get their way, those same anti-God laws will soon be introduced in Australia, and also in every other freedom-loving country in the world. The time approaches when we Christians will need to put our professed trust in God into practice. And I hope today's message, though a repeat, will give us a determination to do just that. The message is entitled, Always Confident in the Lord, and it is based upon Paul's teachings in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through to 10. As usual, I've introduced the message with a hymn, and today I've chosen hymn number 410, The Banner of the Cross. And the message will conclude with hymn number 407, Lead On, O King Eternal. The words of these hymns are also an encouragement to us, reminding us that there is a battle going on in both the spiritual and physical worlds, and that we aren't expected to stand up for God in our own strength, but in the Lord's, which he promises to give to us, if we march under the protection of his banner. Amen? So let's begin this morning with hymn number 410, The Banner of the Cross. My message today is called Always Confident in the Lord. And I want you to turn with me, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's our scripture for this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10, we're going to read. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 10 says, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Listen now, verse 6, Therefore we are always confident, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And verse 8, We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Amen? We can ask the Lord to help us to get some understanding out of this. We're going to be focusing mainly upon confidence. Amen? Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to look into your word and to try and determine, Lord, what it is that you're trying to say to us from it, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit, who you sent to interpret all things for us, Lord, and to guide us in truth, we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit remove freely among us all, Lord, and distribute severally as you will, Lord, to each person where we are in our lives today, Lord. We pray that you speak to each one of us and minister to us, Lord, and bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. For many observant people, we live in a day of uneasiness and uncertainty, both in society generally and also in Christendom. That is, Christendom within the professing churches throughout the world. There is an ever-increasing feeling of apprehension about the direction that everything is heading. I said observant people. I said many observant people are observing things, all right? I said observant people because the truth is that there are other people who I think are probably the majority who believe that everything is going along fine and they haven't a care in the world. Everything is good, or so they try to convince us. And we just need to get on with things and enjoy life and simply ignore anything that might try to spoil that happy and positive thought. As Bible-believing Christians, however, we know that there really are things going on today that herald trouble on the horizon. There are storms approaching that most people are blissfully ignorant of. The Lord Jesus spoke about this type of person in his day in Matthew 16:3, where he accused that they could discern the signs of the weather, but they were unable to discern the signs of the times. I don't know if it's just me, or if any of you have noticed this as well, but in recent times, there's been an increase in the number of shows on TV that are depicting or dedicated to a lifestyle and the pampering of self. Pampering to self, these TV shows that never used to are now increasingly dedicated to lifestyle, you know? Here's how you can have a better life, and pampering of self. There are a couple of documentary programs that we didn't mind watching in times past, which showcase all the wonderful activities and holiday attractions that a person who has nothing more important to do can visit around the Gold Coast area and other places in Queensland. Saturday and Sunday afternoons, full of it, all right? Here, you need to come to this place and you need to go to that place and have a great time, you see. But now, they are predominantly about restaurants and bars and cheese and wine tours, I've noticed. There are more of these types of TV shows catering to the young and trendy, which specifically promote that eating and drinking and touring around looking for the next vineyard or craft beer factory is really the main thing that life is all about. Now, I don't know if you've noticed that, but that's what I've noticed. For me, these programs and the increased interest in food and drink and supposedly having a good time only serve to remind me that the Bible is accurate and true in all of its predictions, particularly the prophecy of Matthew 24. If you'd like to open to Matthew 24, we'll see what I'm talking about. There's a prophecy in there that we're to look for a sign during the last days as the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Matthew 24 and verses 37 to 39. It says, starting in verse 37, Matthew 24, 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking," amen, "marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered in the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away." What does he say? "So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." It's going to be like that in our day, my friends. People are all taken up with eating and drinking and having a great time, you see. The preoccupation with eating and drinking are as much a sign in our day of the closeness of the Lord's return as are the rumours and threats of impending wars, the rejection and mocking of the message of the gospel, and anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. The wholesale escalation of violence everywhere and the promotion of the homosexual lifestyle that in recent times has come as a flood upon the whole world. Horrendous things happening. this homosexual thing, an abortion thing. We watched a show. I've got a video sent to me during the week where these people got in with a sneak camera and videoed a conference between the school teachers and this mob. The pro-abortion people came into the school teaching the teachers how to deal with the kids that are pregnant and send them off for an abortion without their parents knowing, and how to organise that and do it. And this is into the legislated into the schools, and you can guess which state it'd be, California. Amen. That's where everything's heading. That's where everything's heading. Despite all of these things pointing to the Lord soon coming and the end of this current world as we know it, the Word of God continually lifts we who call ourselves Christians above the chaotic disorder of human confusion and uncertainty by constantly reminding us about the many things that we can be absolutely certain of and confident in. Verse 6 of our opening scripture this morning uses an important combination of two words: always confident. The verse reads, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord." As we lay hold of God's certainties by taking to heart what He has promised in His Word, we are able to rise above the unfavourable situations we might be experiencing, being always confident regarding not only our present circumstances, but also the needs of our future expectations. Be careful though, because if we have a personality that tends towards self-confidence and independence, being a bit strong-willed in our character makeup, and always thinking inwardly to ourselves and proclaiming outwardly to everyone else, "She'll be right, mate. I'll look after that. I don't need any help." Then somewhere along the path through this chaotic disorder I've just mentioned that is taking place in society and in the professing churches, then it's going to be a certainty that we will encounter some level of failure and disappointment along the way. God does want us to be always confident. Not in ourselves though, but rather in Him. Confidence in other men or confidence in self without first having confidence in God and His promises is fraught with uncertainty. This is true as much for the Christian as the unsaved. Every type of confidence that excludes God will eventually result in failure. We Christians might experience some success that we can achieve without acknowledging God through putting confidence in ourselves or other people, but it's not a very clever practice to get in the habit of. We need to put our confidence in God. Psalm 118 verse 8 tells us, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Verse 9 says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes," or in the government. Amen? Put confidence in God. I like that psalm. Put our trust in God. Put our confidence in God, not in men and not in princes, government people. Having said that, though, I'm on the pension. But if I wasn't, I reckon God would provide for me. If He can provide for a couple of million Jews walking around in a desert without any water even, He can look after us in a city full of taps and garbage tins full of food. Amen? God will look after us, my friends. God will look after us. In chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs, we find some promises from God that we can definitely have confidence in. In verses 24 to 26 of chapter 3, God assures us that when thou liest... Look at this one too, please. Proverbs chapter 3. You're in Psalms. Go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 26. We find some promises from God that we can definitely have confidence in. Verse 24 of chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs says, "When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet." Wow. "Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked," the thing that's going to come upon the whole world, which we won't be here for. We'll be raptured out of it here. "But be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh." 26, "For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken." Verse 24 says that the sleep of the righteous, the sleep of those who are walking in genuine relationship with the Lord, will be sweet.
When we become Christians, the Lord promises that we will be blessed with good night's sleep instead of tossing and turning all night. The person who has been redeemed is now the Lord's friend rather than his enemy. And he will not be constantly awake, kept awake at night, all night by his guilty conscience, or because of fear of judgment, or because he's worrying about the consequences of being found out for some sin he's recently committed. We don't have to worry about that sort of thing, you see. Not if the Lord's your friend, you won't. And we have confidence in him, we can have confidence in God. What happens if you sin? What happens if you sin? And you know you sin, you got convicted. You go to the Lord and ask him to forgive you. Repent and change. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do. Is that right? And we can go to sleep. What does God say? If you confess your sins, he's true and just to forgive you. In one of my messages some time ago, I mentioned about how vulnerable we are when we lie down on our beds and go to sleep. Some people have so many people out to get them that they are afraid to close their eyes, even for a moment. And in reality, to go to sleep can be a dangerous thing for some people. It can be dangerous to go to sleep. You realise that? Have you ever thought about it? What's dangerous about going to sleep, you might ask? Well, have you ever considered how much at risk you are when you are asleep? Don't want to scare you all, so you can't sleep tonight, but have you ever considered that for most of us, while we are asleep, every instinct that God gives us for our safety and self-preservation is virtually inactive? Unlike when we are awake and something is threatening our safety, when we are asleep, there is no apprehension. We're not scared. We're having a nightmare. No fear, no thought on our part, either to prevent danger or to escape from it. We're just asleep, unconscious, eh? When we are asleep, as I say, we're practically unconscious. We no more expect rational activity from a sleeping person than we do from a dead person. And this is something, think about it, this is something that every person on the planet has to do for extended periods each and every day of our entire lives. If we don't have something or someone to be afraid of, just waiting for us to nod off, most of us enter into sleep willingly and fearlessly. But when we do sleep, we are most vulnerable and unprotected against any form of threat. The Lord Jesus warns us about this time of vulnerability in the parables of Matthew 13. Now I said if you've got enemies, a lot of people, you know, got alarms on their house and all sorts of things, right, to protect them. Why? Because they're going to go to sleep. They don't know what's going on when they go to sleep. Anyhow, the Lord warns us about this time of vulnerability in the parables of Matthew 13. So you can turn to Matthew 13, please, and we'll have a look at something in here too. The Lord warns us that we're vulnerable when we're asleep. Matthew 13, verses 24 to 25 tells us, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. After the farmer's paddock had been all sown with good seed, which we understand from the interpretation in verses 37 to 39 of Matthew 13, represents the children of the kingdom, the farm labourer decided that after all the hard work, they were entitled to have a bit of sleep. But while they slept and while they were not watching what was taking place on the farm, the enemy of the farmer, who we know is the devil, came on the property and planted weeds in amongst the good seed with the intention of corrupting the quality of the farmer's future harvest. Is no the story, eh? We are told that the tares are the children of the wicked one, the devil. The evil deeds of the children of the wicked one are being carried out while many of the Lord's children are sleeping on the job today. We are meant to be watching and praying. We're supposed to be watching and praying. And you know what? Most church pastors are asleep at the wheel today. Peter warns us in 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. That's what Peter said. The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Where did Peter get the idea to teach us to be awake and watching unto prayer? Where did he get that idea? You might remember that Peter, James and John were the ones mentioned in Matthew 26. You can turn there, please. Who the Lord rebuked in the Garden of Gethsemane for sleeping instead of watching and praying. Peter at least learned a very hard lesson in the Garden of Gethsemane about how vulnerable he was to the enemy's attack because he slept when he should have been awake, alert, watching what was going on. Jesus told them in verse 41 of Matthew 26, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." Remember? Remember the story? He said, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation." But three times when he returned from praying a little distance away, he found the disciples sound asleep. When Jesus returned the third time and found them asleep, he told them in verse 45, listen what he said to them. In verse 45 he said, "Sleep on now, sleep on now, and take your rest. You poor blokes, you're all tired. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." In other words, the Lord was saying, it's too late to watch and pray now. You might as well just all go back to sleep. It's too late. It's too late. No use watching and praying any further. So, what was so dangerous to Peter and the two other disciples about having a bit of sleep? Well, back in Matthew 26 and verses 31 to 35, you're still in there, Jesus said to them, verse 31, he said to them, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." In verse 33, we see Peter's boast, where Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, this is what Peter said, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." And importantly, likewise also said all the disciples. They all said that. We pick on Peter, but all the disciples said that. The Bible isn't teaching us that we never need to sleep. Everyone needs to sleep. But there is a time to sleep and a time to be wide awake, because in the natural as well as in the spiritual, there are different types of risks that we could very well be exposed to when we do sleep. In verse 69 to 75 of Matthew 26, you're still in there, we see what vulnerability Peter was exposed to when he slept, rather than being awake, watching and praying as the Lord told him to. What did the Lord Jesus foresee, and what was he warning Peter about? Here's what it was. Verses 69 to 75 inform us, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him," this is after Jesus had been arrested, "a damsel came unto him saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." I saw you with him. But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and you notice it's all maids too, eh? You notice at school when we used to play hide and seek, the girls used to always tell the blokes where we were hiding, eh? It was always girls. Wasn't it? Blokes? It was always the girls. I saw him hiding over there, you know. This is what's happening here. I saw you with that bloke. I saw you with him. Verse 71, "And when he was gone out in the porch, another maid saw him and came unto them that were there and said, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Verse 73, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." You're betrayed by your speech, mate. "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the words of Jesus, and which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and he wept bitterly." He got into that situation because he didn't watch and pray in the garden, my friends. Peter denied the Lord. His confidence in the Lord and the promises of God were nowhere to be found when the threat came against him and he was challenged about being a disciple and friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was mentally unprepared, and the boldness and confidence he had in himself quickly deserted him. Ask, you'll be right, mate. I won't desert you. In Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7, Paul teaches about this peace, this assurance and confidence that comes not from ourselves, but from God. Philippians 4, 6 to 7, if you want to turn there. Our confidence comes from God. When we have prepared ourselves through prayer and we are trusting in Him during our times of doubt. He said that we are to be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, that means don't have cares about everything and worries about everything, alright? Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And listen what it says. After you've prayed and made all your requests known to God and prayed, and verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. God can give us peace and confidence in Him when times of threat come. Now, I don't want to get into it too much, but when I got kicked out of the AOG and they were threatening to kill me and bash me up, I was called to a meeting, which I went to, but I took a big policeman mate with me, who was my mate. He came with me. He said, "Yeah, you're not going up there to see them on your own. I'm coming with you." I said, "We're going to get kicked out." He came with me, right? I didn't have any fear. I'm only a little bloke. They said they're going to bash me up. They're even going to kill me. God's going to kill me. For some reason, I was at peace because I knew what I was standing for was God and the truth of the Scriptures. God gave me peace and confidence. So, He says, be careful for nothing. Do not have any. You've got to pray and put your confidence in God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Amen? And He says, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, there you go. I experienced that big time. It was wonderful, most wonderful thing. We've already mentioned Proverbs 3 verses 24 to 26 this morning, which encourages us that if we are watching and praying and we are vigilant, sober and aware of the threats of the times that we live in, then God promises that when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence. Amen? The Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. God wants us to be confident. Alright? Always confident. Not in ourselves, but in Him. 1 Thessalonians 5 verses 1 to 7 says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren, listen, ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, amen, and the children of the day. Yet we are not of the night, nor of darkness. All right? We need to understand that. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. It doesn't say don't sleep. It says don't sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. As Christians who have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for our protection, God has promised, and we can have confidence in what we read just a moment ago in chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs. We won't need to be afraid when we lie down to sleep. And our sleep will be sweet, we are told. Alright? We don't need to be fearful of the sudden desolation that we know is approaching and is predicted to overcome the wicked. All those who have rejected God's offer of forgiveness through His Son's sacrifice. The Lord Himself will be our confidence, He says, and He will keep us safe. You believe that? That's what the Word of God says. And we need to believe what the Word of God says. Sometimes we don't, you know. We read that and we think, oh yeah, pretty good promise. But do we really believe the promise when the trouble comes? That's when it needs to be tested. Look what happened to Peter. Peter was full of confidence. He'll be right. Everything's going along fine. He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord. We can live our lives always being confident, not in ourselves, but in the Lord's sure promises that He has made to those of us who have put our trust in Him in the New Testament. In 2 Timothy, you can turn to this one too, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 13. Paul talks about it. Our confidence is in God. And what we believe is what God has told us. Is God a liar? He says He's not a liar. He cannot lie. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 13 says, For I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hey, hold fast the form of sound words which we've heard from the Bible. Paul says that he is persuaded that the Lord is able to keep him secure in the promise of his salvation. He has confidence in the Lord to perform this, not confidence in himself. In Hebrews chapter 3 verse 14, we read Paul's further statement of confidence in the Lord. He says, "For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge." Are you a child of God? You a child of God? God says you will have a place of refuge. Hey, we're praying for the Lord to raise up specifically pastors in our day who will stand up and defend the churches of all the nonsense that's coming into them. We're talking mainly about independent Baptist churches, the one group we belong to. Right? Independent Baptist churches are also getting this flood of apostasy coming in. And we're praying that God will raise up pastors in this last day to provide a sanction for his sheep, a place of refuge for people who want to walk according to the Bible and not according to the wishes of blokes and what they say a church should be without acknowledging God. Bringing all this stuff in entertainment and pretending that it's God. I see all these big meetings in America especially fill up stadiums. 50, 60,000 people, young people. I talked about one last week. Saw another one this week. Big revival meeting. They're only going there for the music, all jumping around like in a rock and roll show. 50 and 60,000 young people being deceived into thinking this is God. They sing about worldly stuff. They sing worldly rock music. That's not God. And we don't need to have it coming in here. Amen? And we need churches raised up. Mainly this rock and roll music, this CCM music, is a bridge between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. That's what it is. It's knocking down barriers, tearing down walls and building bridges between two groups. Oh, if you speak in tongues, you must be a Christian. We need to be aware. Hey, watch and be sober. Pray. Watch and pray. So the first portion of 2 Corinthians 5, our opening scripture this morning, refers to our earthly bodies and the groanings we experience in the flesh, especially as we grow older. But hey, 2 weeks ago, I was 73. Still going okay. But hey, our bodies wear out. This tabernacle's going to go one day. But I don't have to be scared. I'm going to be with the Lord. In verse 1-3 we read in our opening scripture of 2 Corinthians 5, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." We don't want to stand naked before the Lord, my friends. We want to have on our robe of righteousness. We need to be dressed for the Lord. The Bible reminds us that God will replace our temporal bodies with perfect eternal bodies that will not be subject to any of the present limitations or difficulties we might be experiencing right now. In verse 4 we read, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality may be swallowed up in life." We're going to close, but with this truth in mind, we should have less difficulty enduring the hostility and disorder and the rebellion against God that exists in today's society and many of today's professing churches, knowing that all of the signs point towards us soon being with the Lord in heaven. The Lord is at hand, my friends. The Lord is at hand. For this reason, we Christians do not fear dying as the unsaved do, and furthermore, we gain inward strength from the Lord, even in times when we groan within our tabernacle, our earthly bodies. Because in verse 1 it reminds us, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Therefore, as verse 6 promises, we can and should always be confident that God is going to honour His word and fulfil every one of His promises. He's going to honour His word and He's going to fulfil all His promises. But a question for us, are we always confident? Or just sometimes sure? Are we always confident or just sometimes sure? We just read in Proverbs 14 and verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. I don't know about you, but I really do hope, though, that you will do the same by faith. And with the Lord's help, I'm going to always put my confidence in God and stand on the promises that He truly is our place of refuge, not only today, but always. Let's close with scripture that will build our confidence to do, always have our confidence in God, alright? Hebrews chapter 10, please. We're going to close with this. Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 35 to 39 reads, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. We need to make sure we're doing the will of God. If we want God to bring us a pastor, we have to make sure we're doing our part. We need to make sure the best of our ability and our hearts towards that, doing what God's called us to do. Is that right? Alright, so, he says in verse 36, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. That's talking about our Redeemer and friend, the Lord Jesus Christ there. And verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. By faith, my friends. By faith. Our confidence is in God, that is. Alright? The just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But verse 39, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Is that you today? You like that scripture? Let's believe it and make sure our confidence is in God, not in ourselves or any other man.
Amen. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the encouragement that we get from your word today, reminding us to have our confidence in you, Lord, and the promises that you make to us as we proceed into this new year of 2021. Help us, Lord, as you tell us in your word, to keep our eyes and our minds fixed upon you, so sustain us with hope, with peace and joy as we proceed through the times of trouble and distress that herald your soon return. Thank you that we can believe and trust that you have given us eternal life, not because of anything good in ourselves, but because we have believed the gospel and trusted in the saving grace of your Son, our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us, your people, we pray, as we commit this new year to serving and honouring you, striving to be light in an ever-darkening world, proclaiming the hope of the gospel to whosoever will listen. Thank you for blessing us this day, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as we close today with hymn number 407, Lead On, O King Eternal. The hymn closes with the words, Thy cross is lifted o'er us, we journey in its light. The crown awaits the conquest, lead on, O God of might. God bless you as we proclaim to the Lord, lead on, O God of might, and we walk in the light that He shines before us this week. Keep in the word, keep in prayer, and keep safe. Amen. And let's close with hymn number 407, Lead On, O King Eternal.